I believe that moral education centers about this conception of the school as a mode of social life, that the best and deepest moral training is precisely that which one gets through having to enter into proper relations with others in a unity of work and thought. The present educational systems, so far as they destroy or neglect this unity, render it difficult or impossible to get any genuine regular moral training. I believe that the child should be stimulated and controlled in his work through the life of the community. I believe that under existing conditions, far too much of the stimulus and control proceeds from the teacher because of neglect of the idea of the school as a form of social life.
I believe that the social life of the child is the basis of concentration or correlation in all his training or growth. The social life gives the unconscious unity and the background of all his efforts and of all his attainments. I believe that the subject matter of the school curriculum should mark a gradual differentiation out of the primitive unconscious unity of social life. I believe that we violate the child's nature and render difficult the best ethical results by introducing the child too abruptly to a number of special studies of reading, writing, geography, etc., out of relation to this social life. I believe, therefore, that the true center of correlation of the school subjects is not science, nor literature, nor history, nor geography, but the child's own social activities.
I believe that the only way to make the child conscious of a social heritage is to enable him to perform those fundamental types of activity which make civilization what it is. I believe, therefore, in the so-called expressive or constructive activities as a center of correlation. I believe that this gives the standard for the place of cooking, sewing, manual training, etc., in the school. I believe that they are not special studies which are to be introduced over and above a lot of others in the way of relaxation or relief or as additional accomplishments. I believe rather that they represent, as types, fundamental forms of social activity, and that it is possible and desirable that the child's introduction into the more formal subjects of the curriculum be through the medium of these activities.
I believe that interests are the signs and symptoms of growing power. I believe that they represent dawning capacities. Accordingly, the constant and careful observation of interests is of the utmost importance for the educator.
I believe that these interests are neither to be humored nor repressed. To repress interest is to substitute the adult for the child, and so to weaken intellectual curiosity and alertness, to suppress initiative, and to deaden interest. To humor the interest is to substitute the transient for the permanent. The interest is always the sign of some power below. The important thing is to discover this power. To humor the interest is to fail to penetrate below the surface, and its sure result is to substitute caprice and whim for genuine interest. I believe that the emotions are the reflex of actions. I believe that to endeavor to stimulate or arouse the emotions apart from their corresponding activities is to introduce an unhealthy and morbid state of mind.
I believe that if we can only secure right habits of action and thought with reference to the good, the true, and the beautiful, the emotions will for the most part take care of themselves. I believe that next to deadness and dullness, formalism and routine, our education is threatened with no greater evil than sentimentalism. I believe that this sentimentalism is the necessary result of the attempt to divorce feeling from action.
Article 5, The School and Social Progress.
I believe that education is the fundamental method of social progress and reform. I believe that all reforms which rest simply upon the enactment of law or the threatening of certain penalties or upon changes in mechanical or outward arrangements are transitory and futile.
I believe that education is a regulation of the process of coming to share in the social consciousness and that the adjustment of individual activity on the basis of this social consciousness is the only sure method of social reconstruction. I believe that this conception has due regard for both the individualistic and socialistic ideals. It is duly individual because it recognizes the formation of a certain character as the only genuine basis of right living. It is socialistic because it recognizes that this right character is not to be formed by merely individual precept, example, or exhortation, but rather by the influence of a certain form of institutional or community life upon the individual, and that the social organism through the school, as its organ, may determine ethical results.
I believe that in the ideal school we have the reconciliation of the individualistic and the institutional ideals.
I believe that the community's duty to education is, therefore, its paramount moral duty. By law and punishment, by social agitation and discussion, society can regulate and form itself in a more or less haphazard and chance way. But through education, society can formulate its own purposes, can organize its own means and resources, and thus shape itself with definiteness and economy in the direction in which it wishes to move.
I believe that when society once recognizes the possibilities in this direction and the obligations which these possibilities impose, it is impossible to conceive of the resources of time, attention, and money which will be put at the disposal of the educator. I believe it is the business of everyone interested in education to insist upon the school as the primary and most effective instrument of social progress and reform, in order that society may be awakened to realize what the school stands for and aroused to the necessity of endowing the educator with sufficient equipment properly to perform his task.
I believe that education, thus conceived, marks the most perfect and intimate union of science and art conceivable in human experience. I believe that the art of thus giving shape to human powers and adapting them to social service is the supreme art, one calling into its service the best of artists. No insight, sympathy, tact, executive power is too great for such service. I believe that with the growth of psychological science, giving added insight into individual structure and laws of growth, and with growth of social science, adding to our knowledge of the right organization of individuals, all scientific resources can be utilized for the purposes of education.
I believe that when science and art thus join hands, the most commanding motive for human action will be reached, the most genuine springs of human conduct aroused, and the best service that human nature is capable of guaranteed. I believe, finally, that the teacher is engaged not simply in the training of individuals, but in the formation of the proper social life. I believe that every teacher should realize the dignity of his calling, that he is a social servant set apart for the maintenance of proper social order and the securing of the right social growth. I believe that in this way, the teacher always is the prophet of the true God and the usher in of the true kingdom of God.
Recorded December 2008 with help from Rex Anderson. Edited by Matthew Thibault. Released under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license.